You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for hanging out. Be a part of this fine broadcast, 855-752-4842. It's a talk. It's a text. Got Earl Ingram Jr. on in the studio with me. We have Jess on the board and on the phones. You can be a part. Callers, be patient. You have some... Have quite a few topics I want to get to today. We have something on the Heritage Foundation Project 2025. Senator wannabe Eric Hovde apparently getting a lot of money from some troubled Mexican banks. We'll talk about that just a little bit. And again, we'll take your calls 855-75-CIVIC. We touched on this briefly in the last hour. I want to bring a little detail to this topic. 2025 advisor admits he thinks Haitians should have been enslaved longer. I know it's hard to believe, but after listening to the comments that Mark Robinson, the lieutenant governor of the state of North Carolina, made on these porn sites, him actually saying on these sites that he wishes slavery was still here, you kind of wonder, because it was 2008, 2011, a while back for him. Not that long ago, and he's espousing and said he would like to have slaves. Some people need to be slaves, I believe, was his quote, and he might even buy a couple. Where does that mentality come from? Well, here's a little hint, and since it has to do with the 2025, I thought it appropriate. Rep. Greg Cesar, a Democrat from Texas, managed to corner Mark Krikorian, the longtime director of the right-wing Center for Immigration Studies, that's called CIS, and an advisor to the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 during a congressional hearing where he forced Krikorian to admit he thinks Haiti would have been better off socioeconomically if slavery had continued for a few more decades.
Wow.
Now, Haiti, which is famous for being founded in one of history's only successful mass slave revolts against the French colonists, has become a heated topic as former President Trump and his associates spread lies, racist, viral internet hoax that the Haitian immigrants working in Springfield, Ohio, have been abducted and eating people's pets. We've talked about that ad nauseum. Now, the progressive Democrat from Texas who identifies with the informal caucus known as the Squad first identified for Krikorian multiple cases of CIS promoting op-eds by white supremacists and Holocaust deniers, including Kevin MacDonald, John Friend, and Jared Taylor, which Krikorian admitted even while denying that they expressed those sentiments in any of the specific op-eds for CIS. Again, this is Center for Immigration Studies, and he is the director thereof. But then Cesar, the congressman from Texas, the Democrat, turned the subject to something Krikorian himself had written in 2010 for the conservative National Review. And here's a quote from the congressman. I will ask you, and I know you're a Project 2025 board member, your recent quote from a few years ago where you said, quote, Haiti is so screwed up because it wasn't colonized long enough. Is that correct? Did you say that? Krikorian responds, I'm happy to talk about that all you want. You did say that. That's right. Haiti was colonized as a slave plantation country, colony. The French colonized Haiti so that slaves would work on the plantation. The end of colonization in Haiti was so that the people there would no longer be slaves. So what you're saying, and I read your quote, and anybody watching this online, go read it. What you're saying is it would have been good if they'd stayed colonized, which means it would have been good if they had stayed enslaved by the French. In the long run, Krikorian said, in the long run, repeated Cesar, people shouldn't have been enslaved a single day. Now, the director of CIS said, and they had every right to throw the French out. My point is, there would have been free 30 years later. They would have been free 30 years later. They would have been in the same situation as, and then he's interrupted, you're saying you wanted 30 more years of slavery in Haiti? No, I did not. I don't want that. And then the congressman says, you said they would have benefited from the French influence. And now Krikorian says, like the people in Martinique and Guadeloupe who were also enslaved in sugar colonies, they are much better off now than Haiti was. And Cesar concludes, this all starts to add up. You continue to do this, disseminate writings of white nationalists, try to rationalize, for example, Haiti being colonized for 30 more years. You're a Project 2025 board member. In Project 2025, I couldn't figure out why, on page 583, it advocates for not allowing racial disparity or gender disparity to be considered discrimination legally anymore. In Project 2012, it eliminates a 50-year-old executive order that prohibits discrimination in federal jobs. On page 586, Project 2025 advocates for Donald Trump to allow businesses to discriminate based on religious beliefs. Before today, I couldn't understand why Trump's Project 2025 could advocate for ending civil rights protections. Now I understand. Haiti has all their problems and all their folks coming here and eating the pets, according to the Republicans, because they weren't enslaved long enough, Earl.
Well, you know, the sheer ignorance and bigotry and racism and cynicism in the response by this man, you know, you might have been able to understand that if it was 1952, you know, or 1943 or 1930s. You might have been able to have understood that because at that point in time, people weren't emboldened enough to feel that way and not say those things publicly. But we're talking about, again, the fact that people will publicly make these kinds of statements and not feel as if there would be any pushback from them. And so more and more people are making these kinds of statements and doing the things that Eric Hubdy and Donald Trump are doing, and it's more than troubling. It clearly is a sign of people who no longer feel as if they have to be embarrassed by their racism and their bigotry. And so they can say it outwardly because our nation is reverting back to a time. And, you know, some may say it never changed, but, you know, these things are now being said openly. These kinds of discussions, I can tell you, were not being had in the 60s and the 70s. And if they were, they were in back rooms because our society had took a look at itself and through a lot of pain and through 400 cities burning to challenge and the practices of racism and bigotry and what it stood for in this nation. And so those things started changing somewhat because people stood up, both black and white, and fought for equal rights and equal protection under the law. These things are fading away. And so people can talk about reverse discrimination, reverse racism. Well, you know, it's time to do away with affirmative action. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. We don't need those things anymore because, you know, it's you're discriminated fixed. Against somebody else, yeah. Right? And so the more I hear that, the more I always, and the older I get, the more I challenge our nation, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. What? The more I challenge our Constitution. The Constitution is the greatest document that's ever been produced. Oh, it is. You know, so, you know, I'm just, Dominic, it's just more than frustrating when you see these things out open. This guy is saying this in the open.
He's at a congressional hearing. He is part of the Project 2025, essentially an advisor to the Heritage Foundation. And he wrote what he wrote in the National Review not that long ago. What was it, 2011, something like that? 2010. He wrote this. The Republicans will tell us, Earl, the black men are coming over to vote for Donald Trump. He's doing great with African American men. He's doing better than any Republican ever has. Given this kind of language, these kinds of attitudes, this what I would consider blatant racism. Do you feel that the African American community is gravitating towards Donald Trump and the MAGA?
Well, you know, Dominic, I don't have a college degree, but I have a PhD in Black America. Mm. And so for people who want to believe, and let Republicans go ahead and continue to be disillusioned and believe that a segment broad enough of the Black community is going to vote Republican and vote for Donald Trump if they will, it ain't happening. It's never happened, and it's not going to happen now. Are there some disgruntled African-American males, unfortunately, generation millennials and others, who feel like they can't get a break from the Democratic Party and they want to be politically involved and inclined, and they feel like they're not going to get an opportunity? The Republican Party has clearly kind of pinpointed some of them and gave them, you know, a couple nickels, and they're willing to sell out our community. These are young men who clearly don't know their ass from a hole in their eye. Can I say that?
You can.
Oh, okay. Their ass from a hole in the ground. And so, you know, they're only concerned about themselves. And so the Republican Party will line them up like the guy earlier you were talking about.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, not to worry, you know, Democrats, there's not enough Republicans, Black Republicans, to make any major change to push Black Democrats towards the Republicans. It ain't happening. Regardless of what people say, regardless of what Trump says, regardless of what any other Republican says, it ain't happening.
So Mark Robinson, Lieutenant Governor from North Carolina, isn't going to rally the crowd and rally the Black vote to his side?
Come on, man. Right. Come on.
I was waiting for that, Earl. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. My friend Earl Ingram Jr. across the table, just as on the board, on the phones. We will take your calls next. 855-752-4842. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, diving into Class A Zool swimming pools, 855-752-4842. It is the happy hour. I've got some callers, got some texters. Appreciate you all. Be patient. Just will get to screening the calls, and you'll join us on the air with Earl Ingram Jr. You can find him here on the Civic Media Network on WAUK at 8 to 10 a.m., the morning shift, Monday through Friday. Earl, thank you for being here. Before we get back to the callers, we're talking about this open racism thing. This guy from CIS who was affiliated with Project 2025, lamenting how Haiti would be so much better if they just had another 30 years of enslavement, because that would have really put them over the edge. You know, like Guatemala and Martinique. But the racism, it's longstanding, Earl, and it continues not just in that congressional hearing, but also in a senatorial hearing as well. A little bit of background here before we play you some sound. During, according to the New Republic, during a congressional hearing on hate crimes on Tuesday, Republican Senator John Kennedy, oh, this guy is a piece of work. John Kennedy, a senator, accused Maya Berry, the executive director of the Arab American Institute, of supporting terrorism, because of course he did. I'm not going to do the reading out louding, but we do have the sound, and I want to.
Yeah, this is one that they just listen for yourself on this one.
It speaks for itself.
Yeah. Let's just dive right in from the top, shall
Thanks,
we?
Sis.
You support Hamas, do you not?
Senator, I'm going to say thank you for that question, because it demonstrates the purpose of our hearing today in a very effective way.
Let's start first with a yes or no.
Hamas is a foreign terrorist organization that I do not support, but you asking the executive director of the Arab American Institute that question very much puts the focus on the issue of hate in our country.
Well, I got your answer, and I appreciate it. What is the... You support Hezbollah, too, don't you?
Again, I find
this line of questioning extraordinarily disappointing,
is that a
Senator.
No?
That you have Arab American constituents that you represent
but
in your great state.
Yes, ma'am, I understand that, but my time's limited, and I apologize. But is that a yes or a no?
My time's limited. So
yes
I'm gonna
or no question?
To
do I support Hezbollah? The answer is I don't support violence, whether it's Hezbollah, Hamas, or any other entity that invokes it.
You can't
so
bring
no,
yourself
sir.
To say no, can
she
you?
Just
no,
said
I can
no.
say no.
Said
I can
multiple
say
times.
Yes.
But
what
you
I
haven't.
Can say is
you just
your line of questioning.
Do you support or oppose Iran?
Wow.
And their hatred of Jews.
Again, I'm going to emphasize, Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, none of them is going to, this discussion.
You can't bring yourself to say no, can
sir,
you?
I don't support.
It's real simple.
Excuse me, I'm going to, if I may, as a Muslim woman, sir, I'm going to tell you, I do not support Iran. But what I will tell you,
you
is that this conversation.
I'm running out of time. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, wow. Mm-hmm. She responded in the negative several times.
Several.
He interrupted her and then lied to her face to the answer she just provided to him in saying you support Hezbollah too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it does get worse.
Oh, okay. Earlier, you want to wait for your weigh in on this?
No, go ahead. All right,
let's keep going.
All right, let's go again.
I think it's exceptionally disappointing that you're looking at an Arab American witness before you and saying you support Hamas.
You know what's disappointing to me?
I do not support Hamas.
You can't bring yourself
I do
to
not
say
support Hamas.
You don't
or
support
any...
UNRWA. You don't support Hamas. You don't
I was very clear in my support for UNRWA.
Hezbollah, and you don't
I
support
oppose...
Iran. You should hide your head in a bag.
Wow. That is a senator.
That's a senator.
That's a senator. John Kennedy, is that who we're talking about?
Yeah.
Let me make sure I get the name right. He is a Republican senator.
Shockingly.
We got one more cut. Let's play the last one, please.
Yeah, these are some closing remarks, because after that point, that was the end of Senator Kennedy's time. Thank goodness.
Yes.
Thank goodness. So Maya Berry, the speaker here, she was given a chance to finally respond.
Ms. Berry, I'm going to allow you to respond to any one or all of those questions at this point.
Senator Durbin, thank you very much for holding this hearing and for elevating the issue of hate crime. It's regrettable that I, as I sit here, have experienced the very issue that we're attempting to deal with today.
Right.
The introduction of foreign policy is not how we keep Arab Americans or Jewish Americans or Muslim Americans or Black people or Asian Americans, anybody safe. This has been regrettably a real disappointment, but very much an indication of the danger to our democratic institutions that we're in now. And I deeply regret that. And I do hope that my testimony today has been helpful to understanding the need to respond to hate.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. What a response. Once again, that was Maya Berry, the executive director of the Arab American Institute, responding to Senator John Kennedy's verbal assaults and lies and hatred right to her face. Earl, your thoughts, please.
A very well thought out and classy response.
Yeah.
You know, she clearly did not lose her composure. And because she did not lose her composure, she really just highlighted just what kind of a human being you know, this guy is. And the fact that to say he's a congressperson.
Senator.
I mean, excuse me, a senator.
Yeah.
And he's one of, and they represent the best that we have in humanity.
100% something.
You know, he clearly, the gloves were off. And to say to a Muslim woman that she should disavow Muslims and the leadership of Muslims is akin to telling an American that you don't support anything that our government is doing. Well, I mean, to tell a woman, yes, yeah, she lives in America, yes, but to tell her, again, as a Muslim person, if you support any of these people, you know, you're anti-American.
Well, and she says she didn't, at least for most of them, but he lied and said that she did. Jess, you got any comments on this?
I got a lot of comments on this, and we don't got a lot of time.
All right, folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. We did promise to get to your calls. We will do so next. 855-752-4842. That was a disgrace from Senator John Neely Kennedy from the state of Louisiana. Do better. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for listening. You can join on the phones or on the text line at 855-752-4842. I want to thank my guest host today, Earl Ingram Jr. Find him at WAUK at 8 a.m. Monday through Friday here on Civic Media. Earl had to duck out for a speaking engagement. Always appreciate when Earl comes around. We're going to try to make it a fairly regular thing. I can't get enough of myself. I can't get enough of Earl. Again, 855-752-4842. Callers, it is your turn. Thank you for being so patient. We're going to go to you right now. Dick from Madison, you've been there the longest. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Is Earl gone?
Earl's gone. But I'm still here. Jess is still here, man.
We're still here.
Come on.
I know. I was just going to say, I'm the same vintage as Earl. I'm like 54, 55. I'm talking about when we were born. I've talked to him several times.
Yeah.
And, love that you referred to yourself as a vintage.
Not yeah, old. Vintage. Classic.
Well, but I'm also really naive, I've found out over the years, when you get this age. Because about 74, 75, he was talking about how he thought, and I thought the same thing, that things were getting better racially, everything.
Yeah.
Right after I got out of high school. And then along came Ronald Reagan in 1980. And all the dog whistle stuff, the nonsense, the welfare queen. And look where he launched his campaign.
Yeah.
And yet we could have chose a guy that was a visionary, a future. You look at some of the things that Jimmy Carter had in mind as far as, like, well, and then symbolically tears the solar panels off
the White House roof. Yeah.
Yeah. And all the rest of it with Reagan. I'm sorry. It started with him. And I know there's a lot of people out there that just love him to death. Democrats. And I used to call Reagan Democrats turncoats back in the day, but it started then.
You mean the decline of getting...
The decline.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
We had about a 6-7 year period when I first got out of high school in 1973 until about 1980. And man, this is going the right way. Yeah. Finally, we're going to get this done. Music was great. Oh, by the way, another great song. Keeper of the Castle, Four Tops.
All right, I'll make a note.
find
you
that.
You mean I'll make a note of it.
Thank you, Jess. But Dick, here's the thing, though. A guy like Ronald Reagan and those that followed him would not have gotten any traction if the underlying sentiment wasn't there. You know, I don't think a guy like Reagan creates that sentiment. I don't think a guy like Donald Trump creates that sentiment. The sentiment's there. They create the permission structure for those to express that sentiment. Tell me I'm wrong, Dave.
I wish I could tell you were wrong, but you're probably absolutely right. And what scares me about this next election, I still think that there's tons of closeted. I was asked how to explain 16. Again, he didn't win. He lost by 3.5 million. If we didn't have that crazy,
electoral college.
Yeah. But I still think that there's this element out there that is closeted, that will never tell you they'd vote for him, but still could. And I think some of it's even going to be stimulated by the fact that, you know, they're seeing all these huge crowds for Harris Walls. And I hope it's not true. I'm not going to rest until the day after.
Well, I mean, at the end of the... Yeah, Dick, that's ultimately the case. You can never rest, and certainly the trend lines are good. She's a better candidate so far than Joe Biden has been. You can, by the money raising, by the way the polls are going. And I think to some degree, to talk about 2016, you know, the low propensity voters, some folks that never were really involved, all of a sudden decided to get involved. Of all the dozens of rallies, of Donald Trump rallies I've gone to, what I really noticed, I think it was one like near up in West Bend, and got up there and a lot of young kids. It was a nice summer afternoon, and they were going up and they had all their gear on. They're laughing and talking about Hillary Clinton and wearing the shirts and disparaging her. And to them, I think it felt like a WWE match, man. It was entertainment. And so if you're the limit of, if you look at engaging in politics, and if you think that engaging in politics and being political is all you need to do is go to a Trump rally and pull the lever for Donald Trump, and that's the end of it. Well, then there you go. I think we got a lot of those folks that were engaged with Donald Trump. You know, he was the apprentice. He was the guy that shaved McMahon's head at the wrestling tournament, whatever you call it, right? So he was a reality TV star. He was in Home Alone 2. You know, it's Donald Trump. So I think the show, the entertainment part of it was what drove a lot of people. I don't know that the shtick, I've said it for me, certainly it's getting old. I don't know that those same kids that went to that West Bend rally or went to the Janesville rally, and kids, I'm saying, you know, younger folks under 20, but certainly of voting age, that do they continue on? Did that still sell to them? Does that message still resonate with them? I don't know. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping that once you get involved, you get engaged and you start to drill down a little more and, you know, hell, put a mic in front of you. You got to go out and explain yourself. That'd be good for some of these folks. How do you justify voting for this based on, you know, your own personal beliefs, but then you vote for a candidate who perhaps goes against it? I think there's lots of quandaries that we have to deal with. But at the end of the day, Donald Trump has not changed his shtick whatsoever. I don't know that there's going to be any more folks, the lower propensity voters to get engaged that haven't already been there. I think Donald Trump has kind of reached his ceiling. And I'm hopeful that Kamala Harris can come out and talk directly to the American people and say, hey, I'm here to work for you. Donald Trump is running to stay out of jail. You realize Donald mm-hmm. Trump will be sentenced mm-hmm. At the end of November.
Yup.
This you don't think that's a motivation for a guy like Donald Trump to do almost anything, to say almost anything, to keep his 78-year-old ass out of jail? He doesn't want to die in jail. And given some of the things that he's been accused of and certainly been convicted of, even if he does a couple of years, I mean, that's hard living. Donald Trump's not used to that kind of hard living.
What will he do without his gold-plated toilet?
It will be a struggle.
It will be such a struggle. Because, you know, the toilets that they have in prison, you got to flush them like 20 times to get anything.
That's right. The low pressure and the showers and all that. Thanks for the call, Dick. I'm this Kennedy thing, the Senator Kennedy from Louisiana, and dealing with that witness, I think is, and Kennedy is an old Southerner. You know, I'd like to think that, well, you know, this is done. Well, it's not done. I mean,
it's not.
No.
It's very clearly still and alive and well.
And if people like Kennedy think like that and talk like that, think it's acceptable to address a person like that, regardless of what the situation, you know, if it's your religion or your race or whatever the case is, you don't treat them like a constituent, like a human being, and you dress them down and you lie to them when the answer is, no, I don't support Hamas. And then you come back with, so do you support, you know, Hezbollah, like you support Hamas? You know, those kinds of, that bunk is disgraceful. And Kennedy, I mean, I don't know his bio. I'm assuming he's got kids. He's probably got grandkids. Do you think that mentality, you know, has been transferred within the family? Because racism isn't something that is within you. That's something you're taught. You know, that's your, you know, nature nurture. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's the nurture side of it. No one comes out being a blatant racist. Those things are taught. And one of the reasons we try to push against that, one of the reasons we had the civil rights, and to talk to guys like Earl who lived through this thing, is because it's unacceptable. It's not equal under the law in any way, shape, or form. So yeah, they're just because we went through the civil rights, just because we had our first black president, doesn't mean that guy like Senator Kennedy has changed his tune whatsoever.
No. I was so furious watching that clip last night.
I knew you would be. I sent it to you. As soon as I saw it, like, oh, should I send it? I'm like, oh, yep. That'll get your heart racing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is absolutely unacceptable to be asking this of the executive director of the Arab American Institute, to assume that because she is Arab American, that because she is the executive director of this institute, that she supports terrorism? That is abhorrent.
That is literally why they were having the hearing.
Literally why they were having the hearing. And a part of me just wished that she would just come back at him and say, well, you're a white Southerner. Do you support the Ku Klux Klan?
Right. She was way more classy than
that. I know.
855-752-4842. Let's keep going down the lines. Mark from Sussex, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, first of all, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I wanted to just comment on Earl's, I guess, is Trump going to win the African-American vote or the Jewish vote or the Latina vote? No chance. But more importantly, if the polls are accurate or anywhere near accurate, and it's a 5 to 10 or 20% difference from 2020, that is one major upset then. And you can talk all you want about Earl saying, you know, he trusts the African Americans that it's going to be, you know, they're still going to vote for it. But 5 points or 10 points. In the Latino vote, now they're looking at 25-point difference. The Jewish community, with what's going on over there, I got to tell you, that's a major difference.
Yeah, no question about it. If those kinds of numbers come to fruition, Mark, you know, again, to your point, they're never going to get a majority, but all you need to do is chip away a little bit here and there. But let me ask you, Mark, and a couple of, I'm assuming you're a white guy. I'm not going to say otherwise, but if you got you and I, two white guys, talking about what Donald Trump has done for the black community, what would you say, what priorities, what policies, what legislation did Donald Trump shepherd through while he was president to help the black community, in your opinion?
Well, I just know before COVID that African-American unemployment rate was the lowest in history. I also know that he worked with other politicians and he approved, I can't remember the thing of the new business, but it's a major, major thing for African-American new business owners. And it was, and I think it was a bipartisan thing, but he's the one that brought that to the table. I also think, again, you might want to ask me what he has done, but really, what have Democrats done?
Well, let me just say this, Mark, before we run out of time.
The Democrat Party and
no, I get it. I'm going to respond. Because Donald Trump inherited the Barack Obama economy, did he not? I'm sorry. Donald Trump inherited the Barack Obama economy. We had how many months of continuous job growth?
That's actually funny.
Oh, okay. Tell me I'm wrong. Did Donald Trump walk into the presidency and all of a sudden had a great economy? It was trash, like Barack Obama had to fix the Republicans before them? No, man. He was handed off a good economy. Please, yes.
Okay. So did Joe Biden walk into an inflation rate of, was it 2.4% or was it less even after a year and a half of COVID?
No, the inflation rate went up under Joe Biden. That is correct. And is now just starting. It's been going down. I mean,
you want it both ways.
Man, it's not both ways. I just acknowledged it. But talk about what the economy was when Donald Trump left compared to what the economy was when Barack Obama left. Man, that is not even a close comparison under any metric. Unemployment, GDP, job growth. I mean, lay it out for me, man. It was a disaster under Donald Trump, and he had it good when he got handed off a nice economy from Barack Obama. Look at the continual quarters of job growth under the former president. Folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. A couple more callers. One last segment, 855-752-4842. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit me up right now. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. It's a talk. It's a text. Let's get some of the texters some love before we get to the talkers. Carrie from Tulsa had something to say. Yeah. And Biden has the first black female VP, nominated black female to SCOTUS, made Juneteenth Day a national holiday. Dems have done plenty. Eric from Madison notes inflation was coming no matter who was president, Mark. Yes, Eric, I would concur. And Biden's accomplishments are numerous and verifiable. Also, Google it. Look at some of the laws that have been passed under the Biden administration. Wes from Middleton wonders, I'm not sure where guys like Mark are getting the information that Trump is running away with a minority vote. Annie from Watertown, I guess there's proof that men can be jerks no matter what their color. Yes, that is always the case. I concur. What else we got? I thought this was an interesting one from the WMDX text line. Every progression has backlash, as does every regression. We're seeing both right now. The backlash to LGBTQ rights and a black president and the backlash of stripping the reproductive rights and authoritarianism. Mostly history shows we progress over the long term. This November will show whether we continue to progress or regress in the short term. Yeah, for sure. You hear it, you know, two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
That's how it is. Thank you, folks, for participating, for texting, and for calling 855-752-4842. Drew from Lake Mills, you are next. Welcome, Drew. What do you got for us?
Hey, everybody. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, Dom, first of all, I got a lot of things to say tonight.
Okay.
First, I want to tell you, like, your new show, I really want to compliment you because I think you go really in-depth on topics instead of kind of staying on the surface level. And especially having Earl there, I think that's really great. So
thanks.
Thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Drew. I appreciate it very much.
No problem. Second of all, as a fellow metalhead, I really love all your music that you come in with. So keep it up.
All right.
But here's the thing. All right, so I grew up in West Bend, right?
Sure.
There's been several mentions of West Bend in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Gen Xer, right? 46 years old. And I feel like, you know, my grandparents were totally racist, okay? My parents did a little bit better of a job, and I feel like maybe the Gen X generation is kind of that generation that says, like, okay, we got to, like, maybe do something about this.
Yeah.
But I think maybe a lot of us are kind of, like, scared, and we don't know what to do about it because we don't want to do the wrong thing.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
You kind of follow me there?
Sure.
Like, here's an example. When I was growing up in West Bend, I was on the wrestling team in middle school, and I got beat by an African-American kid that I was wrestling against. And my coach said to me afterwards, he said, "I can't believe you lost to that colored boy."
Oof.
I mean, that's like what was brought in. Like, that's what was said to me.
That's your coach.
Like,
that's your leader.
That's my coach.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's using this language, and I'm going, what in the world? Like, so at the time, I was very confused because, like, you know, they were just starting to teach kind of things like, you know, everybody belongs. Don't have to do this stuff. But then I have older adults telling me you can't get beat by somebody who's a different race than you in wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was very, very confusing to me. But what I want to say to, like, the guys and the girls who are my generation, Generation X, who are maybe just a little bit afraid to do, you know, to say anything, to disrupt something when they hear something that's totally racist, that's okay. Like, don't feel like you have to do that. But, you know, make your voice heard at the ballot box. Like, that's private. You don't have to tell people who you voted for, but you can disrupt this by electing people who don't have these views. And so you're doing something without actually having to tell anybody about what you're doing. And so I really encourage everybody who do not subscribe to these crazy views that, you know, we've been hearing about today with all the stories that have been coming out.
Yeah.
Go to the ballot box, make your voice heard that way. It's okay. Go out there and do it that way. If you're scared to do it with your own voice out loud.
Yeah, Drew, great points, man. Thank you for the story. I think a lot of us, you know, had similar experiences growing up, and I think, you know, if families are doing it right, the racism goes down a little bit more every generation.
That's the goal.
That's the goal. That should be the goal. Be better, be more inclusive. I think those are things that I aspire to. And I get it, you know, the hard conversations. It wasn't always easy to talk race. I've learned that over time, and talking about transgendered folks and these kinds of situations, you know, until you are involved in it, until you're reading about it, until you have experience, it can be troubling. It can be difficult to address it because you want to address it and show support, but you don't want to say the wrong thing. I totally understand it. But here's the other thing: you do a little research, do a little reading, find a friend you're comfortable with that's in whatever group you're thinking about. Man, people will give you a lot of slack if you're trying. And absolutely right. Go to the ballot box. And to one of our other comments earlier in the day, talking about folks, you know, pulling the levers for Republicans. And I think there's going to be a lot of females Republicans that will not be voting for the Republican Party. Maybe the husbands, boyfriends, others don't know about it. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Earl Ingram Jr. Check him out Monday through Friday on WAUK 8 to 10 a.m. Thank you, Jess, for all your hard work. Tomorrow is Friday. James Santel will be joining me. I hope you do, too. Have a great night.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.